Jesus' name. Again, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the inspiration of your word. Help it to touch our hearts and impact us in a mighty and magnificent way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, again, first of all, I do want to just honor Ms. Horsley for being here with us today. And even though she's been through a traumatic time over the past couple of weeks, as we can see, God has brought her through. She's still standing. And, you know, in spite of all of the things that we've been kind of challenged with over the past few weeks, and when I say we, I'm talking about not only Ms. Horsley, but others of us have had challenges of different sorts. I mentioned earlier, if you think you're going to live in this world without a challenge, you're fooling yourself. There are things to contend with each and every day. And Jesus said, but we're not to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Be concerned with the things of today, and God will take care of us through it all. But I was thinking about this particular commercial that I saw on TV a number of times, and it, for some reason or another, it just drives home to me what it is that we all perhaps want, but we don't say it this way. And here's the commercial and the way it goes. There's an older man that walks out to the pier, and he has a fishing hook, and he's going fishing, as some people love to do, and that is to fish. And when he gets there, he sits down beside this young man, and he asks this young man, "What are you fishing for?" And this young man had about 100 fishing rods stuck up on the ground, stuck up on the pier, and all of the lines are thrown out into the water. And this young man says, "I want it all." And that's the idea that I kind of have when I look at life, when I look at things that I want in life, and I look at things really beyond life. I want it all. And I believe that when Christ came into this world, he said in John 10:10 that the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and that they should have it even more abundantly. In essence, what Jesus was saying to you and to me, I want to give it all to you. But we have to have the proper attitude. So if I could title my message today, I want it all would be what it is. Now, we understand this, that when we look at the disciples, when we look at Jesus Christ, we look at all of the things and the power that he had the ability to do. That man had it all. He had the ability to walk in total health. He had the ability to be a rich man. He had the ability to heal whomever he came in contact with. He had the ability to raise those from the dead. He had it all. But he used it responsibly. He had it all, and he wanted to give it all to us. And he said in your word, "Whatsoever it is that you shall pray in my name, I will give it to thee." We can have it all. But the thing that I'm learning and I understand about life is that many of us, we want it all, but we don't want to do what it takes to get it all. Because we try to do it our way, and we try to do it the way that really in some cases isn't even the right way to do it. But because we want it all, we'll go to all kinds of extents to get it. And God says that ain't the way to do it. Now, one of the things I've learned as well, if you would please turn to Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to read a few scriptures here because it shows me that in the all that we want, there are certain ways that we are to walk and to carry ourselves. There are certain things that we are to do because in doing it the right and proper way, God is willing to give it to us. And he's willing to do it in a mighty and magnificent way. But Philippians, of course, is a story or a book wherein Paul was talking to the children of Philippi in the church. And he said in verse 1, "Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and even the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." That is one thing that Paul, in most of the epistles that he wrote, he said, first of all, grace and peace be unto you. Because without all of the other things in life that we get, if we ain't got grace and we ain't got peace, we really ain't got nothing. It subtracts from all of the other stuff that we think that we have or we would want. What good is it for a man to have all of the money that he wants in the world and he ain't got grace and peace? What good is it for a man to have the health that he wants and he ain't got peace and he doesn't have grace? And so see, in everything that we can have in this world, if we ain't got grace and peace, we still don't have it all, because they are the important things of life. In fact, you can add salvation into that, but he's talking to people that really supposedly already had salvation. He said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer, in a prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and in the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. In essence, what Paul was saying, he said, he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you. God has within you and every child, woman, boy, and girl to not only begin a good work into you, but to bring it to pass. It's his way of saying, I want to give you all things. If you want it all, if I begin the good work in you, you can rest assured I'm going to perform it until the day that I come back. Now, the day that he comes back may be either the day that we go or the day that he comes. It doesn't really matter. He wants to begin a good work in us. And my attitude, my heart is, God, I want it all. If you want to give me souls, I want it. God, if you are going to give me riches, I want it. If you're going to build this church and make it a church that has the name that's glorified in Christ Jesus, I want it. If it magnifies you in any particular way, God, I want it. I want it all. God, if you're going to give me houses and riches, I want it all. I ain't turning nothing down, God, that you want to give to me. But God, let me have the proper attitude and the proper mindset in that which you give me. Because that's what Jesus said. He said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that's all of the goodness of life that I can ever ask for and ever have. And so Paul was saying to the Philippians, first of all, he said, listen, I want you to be confident that God will fulfill things in us. I want you, Philippi, to know that God wants to move into our lives. And he talks about how it is that, first of all, love must abound in the things that we do. Love must be the first attitude and the first position that we take for us in having it all. Because God will give to those that love him. He will give to those that love others. He will fulfill your desires. He will fulfill the dreams that you might have. That is the way God is. In verse 9, he says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, unto the glory and the praise of God. God is saying that I want to give unto you all things, and I want to bless you abundantly. He further went down in Philippians chapter 2, he said this, if there be among you any, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem another better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. See, this separates the person that deserves all things from the person that does not deserve. Paul said, listen, if you look at Hosea and you see that Hosea isn't blessed like you are, in fact, Hosea is going through challenges in life, you look at that man and esteem him better than yourself. Because when I can lift him up, in essence, God is saying to lift another man up is to bring yourself down to his level and you understand what he's going through. That's why it is important when we see Ms. Horsley and we see that she's going through some challenges, it is important that we feel her pain. We feel what she's going through because now, God, I can identify. And Jesus Christ could identify with man. And the Bible says that he didn't even think it was robbery to be equal with God, but he made of himself a man that he can be the servant of God because he wanted all. When Jesus looks at the world, he doesn't just want one. He can save one man, and that's no problem to save one man and say, I call it quits. But no, Jesus, by his blood, looks at the whole world, and he tells God, God, I want it all. I want the whole world. And you and I are supposed to be the same kind of way. God, I want it all. How many souls can I save? I want it all. How many people's lives can I change? One, two, ten? No, I want it all. And that's the attitude that we're to have. You know, as a ministry, as a church, you are never satisfied with just having a few. You're never satisfied with just having a few chairs. You're never satisfied with just having a little equipment. You're never satisfied with just having a few things of possession. But no, we're all trying to expand and go beyond the borders that we might even set for ourselves. And that's why when we talk about mega churches, and not that my mindset is on that, but when we talk about mega churches, you say, well, how many people can be a part of a church? Well, they want it all. 5,000, 10,000, 20, 30, 40,000 in terms of membership. That's a lot of people. They just want it all. And we're to have the same kind of mindset, not necessarily just in terms of people, but in terms of people's lives that we can touch. The attitude of somebody just being invited into church, in essence, Carl, I'll use as an example, is saying, God, if there's another life maybe that I can be an instrumental in terms of youth, I want it all. I don't want to just come to church myself. No, I want somebody else to experience this same kind of glory and understanding that I have. And maybe he already does, but the point of the matter is, I ain't putting no borders on that God which you have to give me. I wanted to direct your attention to Genesis chapter 18 because I saw something in this particular man. It is the man that we understand is the father of faith, Abraham. And Abraham was in a position. He's a man that's an example of being in a position that he really, I believe, could have had it all in this particular situation, but he stopped short of getting it all. But he is a man that was in a position. Genesis 18, verse 1 through 8, and it reads as such. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent of the door of the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, there were three men that stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. He bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I pray thee from thy servant. Again, he's showing the example of being a servant. But here is something unique that Abraham did. In verse 4, he said, first of all, let me get a little water and wash your feet. And let me allow you to rest yourselves under the tree. And I'm going to fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts, and that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said unto him, so do as thou hast said. Abraham hastened to the tent. He told his wife Sarah, go quickly and fix a measure of fine meal now, the best of what he had, knead it and make cakes upon the earth. He ran to his servant and he said, go fetch a calf that is tender, not just any kind of calf, a tender and good calf, and dress it. Abraham took milk, and he took butter, and he took the best of what he had and said, I want to make it for these three men. Because in essence, Abraham was an example of the way that we are. We are people that walk by faith. But here's the thing where a lot of times we fall short. Many of us do. We see God and we see three angels. We see men of God. And instead of us saying, go make the finest meal, go get some bread out of the pantry there. It might have a little mold off it. Rub it off and we'll give it. And I want you to go get a calf. Don't get the best one. Just get a calf of any sort and bring it in and we'll cook it. I ain't going to give you butter because butter in that day was something that was like a commodity. I'm not going to give you milk. It was perhaps that which wasn't the best. But I want you to go get it. And I want us to feed these guys. We're going to do that, but we ain't going to give the best of what we have. But Abraham gave the best because Abraham, in a sense, was in a position that he could have had it all. Because later on in that particular chapter, we saw where God came face to face with Abraham and said, listen, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin that they have before me. And it is strange as to what Abraham did. You see, I believe that he could have saved the whole nation of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he stopped short of having it all. He bargained with God. He said, God, because God had told him, I'm the kind of God that I will not hide things from my servant Abraham. And so when he began to talk to Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to destroy this city. Abraham said, God, would you not hold back from destroying this city if there are 50 righteous people? God said, yeah, I'll do it. And he realized that there weren't 50 that was there. And then he said, how about 45, God? How about 40, God? And then Abraham, as he began to get a little accustomed to how to bargain with God, he switched up on God. He said, what if you go from 40 to 30? Instead of going from 5, 10, 15, 20, he decided he's going to go 10, 20, 30. And if you, God, could find from 30 to 20, and from 20 to 10, will you not spare the city? And God said, yeah, I'll do it. But here's the thing where Abraham fell a little short, and this is where we fall short sometimes because we don't ask God for all of it. Sometimes we just get pleased with the fact that, God, if you just give me a little bit, I'll be satisfied. And that's all right to have, but sometimes we can ask God for it all. Because James said that many of you don't have because you ask not. And many of you don't ask. And when you do ask, you ask amiss. You're taking it for granted that God ain't going to do it. You take for granted that perhaps you ain't supposed to have it, or you're just doing it for your own selfish means. But God says you can have it all. Abraham stopped at the number 10 righteous people. And although it may not have ever even been 10 in the whole city, I believe that had Abraham said, God, for the sake of just having a little mercy on the country, will you hold your hand back? And he may have gotten it all, but instead he stopped at 10. And there were not 10 righteous people in the whole city. Abraham didn't get it all. But we do understand this of Abraham, and that is, Abraham was righteous. He had faith, and he was willing to give. Not only willing to give of those angels his best, but we know that he met Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, after he came from the slaughter of those people that to deliver his nephew Lot, Abraham was willing to give a 10% of all that he had gotten from that particular event. And he gave it to Melchizedek, which means that he had a given heart. And so here it is, break down to this matter here. Sure, I want it all. But all of the stuff that I want ain't material stuff. It's all right if I have it. But God, there is something more important in this world than material things. In fact, people are more important to me, God, than me having all of the riches in the world. There are some people that will kill a man because it means nothing to him just to get his hand on the dollar bill. There are some people in the world that will allow you and let you die just to accrue the big, fine houses and castles that people can live in, but they ain't getting it all. They're just getting what is all to them, and that is materialistic stuff. So the question is, why do you serve God? Do you serve God because he can give it all, or are you trying to figure out a way that you can give God all that you have? Because really, the two are entwined. And I see it this way. I want it all because, God, all that you give me can be used to glorify your name. All that you give me, oh God, can be used to touch somebody else's life. And therefore, if I am blessed with a suit, God, it ain't to just say I'm going to wear it to work, but no, God, I can present myself as a man of God. I can present myself as a person that is anointed of God. I can present myself as a person to touch someone else's life. I want it all, and that's what I want this to represent on me. It's a means to say that because I am a man of God and there are loving people in the midst of our congregation, I can brag on the congregation that other people might be willing to come in because it represents the congregation, not just me. But I want it all. I don't want to just fish with one fishing rod. I want to fish with 100 of them. I don't want to be the man that just asks amiss. I want to be the man that have faith. And so therefore, to you, raise your level of expectation up. And you say to God, God, I want it all. Whatever it is that you have for me, I know it's for me, but God, I want it. I don't want to settle for the meager things of life. God, if you have possessions for me to have, let me have them, God. Because see, he can treat you just like Jacob. He can treat you like Israel. It's not because of how good you are, but God says, I want to bless you, period. And it ain't based on the way you look. It's not based on how good you are. It's not based on how large of number that we are. I want to do it because I am God and I can do it. But my attitude is, God, I want it all. Now, here's the dangers of not having it, of having it all. We have to be careful of this. We get lazy sometimes when we got it all. We compromise, meaning that God, after I've gotten it, not only am I lazy, but now I'm willing to talk to other people that I'm ready to kind of cash in one God for another. It's a dangerous point that we can find ourselves in. And then we can get over into following other gods. And lastly, we get over into apostasy. Apostasy means that we begin to get cold on God. And we was talking about it a little bit this morning. When you get cold on God, you start looking the other way and you start following after things that you ought not to follow. That's because you got it all. More so, all of the things of this world. In Jesus' name. Vanessa, are we still going to do it, or is that out of the question now? I know Tessie's not here. Okay. We have something special for you concerning that, and I didn't want to forget that particular means. It's just a part of us having it all. Increase your mind to know that whatever it is that you want in this life, you can achieve it. You can have it. God ain't trying to hold any of us back from getting the heart's desire that we have. I ain't satisfied being here for the rest of our days. Enjoy Ministries ain't satisfied with being here for the rest of our days. And so therefore, we're looking for other places. We ain't satisfied with having 50 or 100 people. We're looking for means to increase our numbers, because in increasing our numbers, it's going to make room for us to have the other things that we want. And again, we ain't talking about physical things, spiritual things. I want to touch people around the world because I want it all. Should God allow, I want to touch the Muslim, the Hindu, those that don't believe in God whatsoever. I want it because I want it all. You should want it all. And therefore, we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And in his name we say, amen. Father, lift us up to desire more, especially the spiritual things. And I believe that's what more so Paul was speaking of, not materialistic thing, but spiritual things. And that's why we are to walk and talk right and ask and not ask amiss. Help us in that, in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. If you would please stand, Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And I'm going to pray for those of you that maybe desire, unless you want to be born again and you want to know Christ by the power of the Spirit, and you're saying to yourself, I don't really know Jesus the way I ought to. I want to pray corporately for everybody. I'm going to pray for Miss Horsley, of course. She's going through specifically, but anybody that need prayer concerning anything, anybody need prayer concerning salvation, and let me say what that is. Romans 10:9-10 tells us that if we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ